immortal technique. Revolutionary Volume 2. Yeah. Broadcasting live from Harlem, New York. Let the truth be known. You better watch what the flies out of your mouth, or I'ma hijack a plane and fly it into your house. Burn your apartment with your family tied to the couch and slit your throat so when you scream, only blood comes out. I doubt that there could ever be a more wicked MC, cause AIDS-infested child molesters are even sicker than me. I see the world for what it is, beyond the white and the black, the way the government downplays historical facts. Cause the United States sponsored the rise of the Third Reich, just like the CIA trained terrorists how to fight, build bombs and sneak box cutters onto a flight. When I was a child, the devil himself bought me a mic, but I refused the offer, cause God sent me to strike with skills unused like fallopian tubes in a dike. My words will expose George Bush and Bin Laden as two separate parts of the same seven-headed dragon. And you can't fathom the truth, so you don't hear me. You think Illuminati's just a conspiracy theory? That's why conservative racists are all running, and your phone is tapped by the federal government. So I'm jamming frequencies in your brain when you speak to me. Technique, a ripper, rapper to pieces indecently. Pack weapons illegally, cause I'm never hesitant. Sniper scoping a commission, controlling the president. Father, forgive them, for they don't know right from wrong. Truth to set you free, written down in a song. And the song has the cause of death written in code. The word of God brought to light that'll save your soul. Save your soul. Save your soul. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I hacked the Pentagon for self-incriminating evidence of Republican manufactured white powder pestilence. Marine Corps flak vest with the guns and ammo, spitting bars like a demon stuck inside a piano. Turn a Sambo into a soldier with just one line. So hear the truth about the system and a your mind. They gave Al-Qaeda $6 billion in 1989 to 1992. And now the last chapters of Revelations are coming true. And I know a lot of people find it hard to swallow this, cause subliminal bigotry makes you hate my politics, but you act like America wouldn't destroy two buildings in a country that was sponsoring bombs dropped on our children. I was watching the towers, and though I wasn't the closest, I saw them crumble to the earth like they were full of explosives. And they thought nobody noticed the news report that they did about the bombs planted on the George Washington Bridge. Four non-Arabs arrested during the emergency, and then it disappeared from the news permanently. They dubbed the tape of Osama, and they said it was proof. Jealous of our freedom, I can't believe you bought that excuse. Rocking a flag don't make you a hero. Word to ground zero, the devil crept into heaven. God overslept on the 7th. The new world order was born on September 11th. Father, forgive them, for they don't know right from wrong. The truth is set you free, written down in a song. And the song has the cause of death written in code. The word of God brought to light that'll save your soul. Save your soul. Save your soul. And just so conservatives don't take it to heart, I don't think Bush did it, cause he isn't that smart. He's just a stupid puppet taking orders on his cell phone from the same people that sabotaged Senator Wellstone. The military industry got it popping and locking, looking for a way to justify the Wolfowitz doctrine. And as a matter of fact, Rumsfeld, now that I think back, without 9/11, you couldn't have a war in Iraq, or this budget of world conquest proportions, kill freedom of speech, and revoke the right to abortion. Tax cut extortion, a blessing to the wealthy and wicked, but you still have to answer to the Armageddon you scripted. And Dick Cheney, you leech, tell him your plans about building your pipelines through Afghanistan, and how Israeli troops train the Taliban in Pakistan. You might have some house food, but I understand colonialism is sponsored by corporations. That's why Halliburton gets paid to rebuild nations. Tell me the truth, I don't scare into paralysis. I know the CIA saw Bin Laden on dialysis in 98 when he was top 10 for the FBI. Government ties is really why the government lies. Read it yourself instead of asking the government why, cause then the cause of death, the cause, the propaganda to die.
Welcome back to another episode of the Brian Stavely Show here on the Last American Radio Broadcast. I want to thank everybody again for listening to us today. Yesterday we got cut a little short. We had a little technical issue, so pretty much the second half of the show got cut out. So I'm gonna redo some of the things from yesterday. A lot of you guys didn't even hear it, unless you caught it live. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna go over a few of the topics from yesterday. And we're going to get into some new stuff from today. So, with that being said, let's dive right into it, guys. Okay. Now, the first thing I want to talk about here is the issue of freedom of press and a couple of our other constitutional rights, such as freedom of speech and freedom of assembly. Well, the reason I want to talk about these today is because they're constantly being under attack. And as you've noticed with the protests that are going on all across the world, all across the country, the Occupy movement. Okay, now every time we talk about this, I tell you guys that, you know, my personal opinion is, you know, a lot of it is controlled, a lot of it is staged. But regardless whether it's staged or whether it's real, it produces the same outcome. And that is generates fear. It makes you not want to speak out. It makes you not want to be a journalist. It makes you not want to do this and that. The thing I want to talk about today a little bit is, you know, freedom of press, because, you know, I was watching some stories and, you know, I guess there's been about 26 journalists now that have been arrested in this country having to do, you know, being at these movements. And, you know, whether they're just saying they arrested 26 journalists, whether they staged it and pulled 26 of them aside and just let them go later, or if they really arrested 26 of them, it doesn't matter. It's the same message. It sets the precedent that, you know, you're not going to speak out about this. You're not going to report on this. And I think eventually, by the end of the whole movement, by the time this thing finally dies down, you're going to see some new legislation passed. Something that's going to restrict our freedoms more. For those of you that don't know, there are free speech zones in this country. When they have meetings, such as like the G20 meeting, like they had in Pittsburgh and Toronto, you know, stuff that they'll have in the UK, really anywhere all over the world, they'll set up what they call a free speech zone. And it's actually the exact opposite. And they love to do that to you. They love to label things the exact opposite of what they are. It's almost like a little joke, kind of like the Patriot Act, the 9/11 truth movement. You know what I'm saying? They call it a free speech zone, and what it is it's a certain area around wherever they're having their meeting. So it could be like a square mile, two square miles, a couple blocks, whatever they set up for a perimeter. And you're not allowed to have free speech in that area. Pretty much, you're not allowed to assemble. You're not allowed. Oh, you can't protest there. And you thought that was your given right in this country, didn't you? No. You're not allowed to protest in these free speech zones. I know they do it a lot in the UK too, like having to do, you know, when the Queen's around or whatever. They do this. Think about that. How un-American is that? A free speech zone. So knowing that they have these set up, and now they're trying to set the precedent where, think about it this way, right? If you, you know, you just turn on the, say you follow the alternative news, okay? I know that most of the people that are listening to this broadcast probably follow the alternative news more than the regular news. Maybe I'm making an assumption. Either way, it doesn't matter. So you're watching either one of the broadcasts, alternative or mainstream, and you see these reporters getting carted off or maybe even getting assaulted in some cases by the police, right? What does that do to you? Well, it kind of makes you think, wow, this is, you know, this is getting really bad. But what it really does is a lot different to you than what it would do to somebody that, say, is trying to become a reporter. Now, say you're in college, and you're really smart, and you're really well-spoken, and you're going to be a journalist, and you know, you're a great researcher, and yada, 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 but then you see something like this. Well, you might change your career real quick, wouldn't you? If, you know what I mean? If there's still time, you might want to go in another direction, because you don't want to have to deal with that. You thought this was a free country. Guys, it's not a free country when you're not allowed to speak your mind. It's not a free country when elections are rigged. It's not a free country when you really don't have freedom of assembly anywhere you want and freedom of speech. It's not a free country when you can't control or know what gets put in your body, okay? It's not a free country when we don't even issue our own currency and a private bank does it. And we're basically slaves. You just don't see the chains, guys. Think about it. You know, this freedom of press thing, this is a big deal because this all ties in with everything, like, you know, freedom of speech. And, you know, it ties in with the internet. And the internet has become, you know, our greatest means of communication, our greatest tool. Whether it's using Google to research, using Facebook to talk to people, using Twitter to pass quick messages on and have people follow your news or whatever. There's so many different avenues now for information. And, you know, that's why they want to grab a hold of it. And we've talked about it at great length about what they plan on doing with the internet. And, you know, this is all... Think about all of this. The clampdown on the internet, the police state that you see at these protests, the actions by the TSA at the airport, okay? You're getting groped at the airport. Think about all of this, right? Would any of this have been allowed if supposedly 19 hijackers didn't crash planes into buildings and kill 3,000 people, supposedly? Would any of this be allowed? No, it wouldn't be. We've just totally thrown all of our morals out the window, all of our standards, everything. We just throw everything out the window in the name of protecting us from terrorism. And it's a phony made-up enemy, okay? I know there's real terrorists in the world, but they're not over here, guys. They never have been. Well, I shouldn't say it like that because up at the top, these guys are terrorists and they are here. But I'm saying, you know, the terrorism, you know, blowing up buildings and car bombings and rocket attacks and all that, that's not going on over here. They'd like you to think it is, okay? Look at any time you see somebody busted for a supposed bomb plot before it happens. It's always the FBI set them up, and not just set them up, but they actually, like, set up a whole organization, brought this guy in, gave him a bomb. It happens over and over again. Over and over again, the FBI does. Totally entraps people. Totally entraps them. You know, you saw it with that thing in Portland, with that kid in Portland. You've seen it with the thing in 93. You see it all the time. All the time you see it. FBI entrapment. Yesterday, guys, you know, when I was on, we were talking about this story about McDonald's, okay? The USDA, well, I shouldn't even say the USDA, because they wouldn't have stepped in if this video didn't come out. An animal rights group, okay, snuck into a place called Sparrow Farms. All right. What Sparrow Farms is it's the egg distributor that gives McDonald's its eggs for the Eggs McMuffins and, you know, for the, for whatever else they use their eggs for the breakfast products and everything else. And these people that worked as undercover officers for, like, animal abuse or whatever, I don't know the exact organization that they worked for, but they got a job at Sparrow Farms, okay? It's in Iowa. And they snuck a video out of there. And in this video, you know, it's really disturbing, guys. It's basically, you know, all-out animal abuse. They are, you know, basically taking the chickens, little chicks, little harmless chicks, okay? Taking little harmless chicks by the throat, slamming them around. You know how... You know, the chickens are supposed to be raised, like, humanely and not all cramped on top of each other. These chicks are all stuffed in these little cages. Picture, like, the little cage that you put your dog in if you have a small dog or if you have a cat and you were going to travel in your car. You know, the little cages that you could maybe, like, you know, put them in and actually maybe fit it on your car seat? Well, those types of cages are stacked from wall to wall to wall to wall to wall all over there. And in each one, there's probably like 20 chicks just stuffed in there. The other thing, guys, is when they're real stuffed in there like that, what it does is it doesn't give them room to move, okay? And that's pretty basic, right? It doesn't give them room to move. Well, it doesn't give them room to take a crap either. And their crap and their food gets all mixed in together on the floor because they just drop the feed in above them. And they eat their own poop. And that causes tons of disease. It causes salmonella. It kills people, okay? A lot of people have gotten sick from another place in Iowa that had similar type of actions going on. Now, since this video came out, McDonald's has dropped these people. And, you know, I don't want to say hats off to McDonald's because, honestly, this is a big operation. It's not like when McDonald's inspectors went out there, they didn't see this stuff going on, okay? It's not like, you know, it was going on in a little shed and they didn't see a little shed out back. No, this is how the whole operation is run. So they knew about this. The only reason they're coming out now is because, you know, there's a news story out about it. Somebody snuck a video out, you know? They have to come out now. So, of course, they dropped them. The other thing, guys, is Target. Target gets eggs from these guys, or they did. I know, at least in my town, we have a Target now in my city. If you guys bought eggs at Target, now I know that they're probably going to obviously pull them all off the shelves, but you never know, okay? You never know about some nitwit working at an individual store, okay? Somebody could leave the wrong eggs up there. The eggs could be dated wrong, and they could be from the batch that came from that place or anything. Just don't eat any eggs from Target right now. And if you have eggs you bought there in the last few weeks, please throw them away. Now, guys, you know, before we even get even farther down this road with the chick and the farm and everything that was going on, what are you doing still eating McDonald's if you're eating that crap? We've done a few stories on them. Do you know that their meat doesn't even decompose after years and years and years, and neither does their bread? Think about that. Back to this farm and in this video. In this video, guys, you know, it's so disturbing. They take little chicks and they actually throw them in a plastic bag and just leave them there to die and just throw tons of them on top of each other. It's really disturbing. It really is. You know, you're not supposed to eat an animal that eats its own crap. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket science to figure it out that, you know, that's not healthy. And that's what you have here. So if you've been eating Egg McMuffins, you're not going to be happy when you see this video, but you need to see it, okay? Now, I posted the actual video in the blog, guys. So if you go to thelastamerican.org and you go to our blog section, look for today's show. It's actually listed under yesterday's show because we started it yesterday. So look for 11/22, and you'll see the I'll change the date on there. I'll add this date. And you'll see the video for this, okay? And you'll also see an ABC news story, and that's what I'm about to play next. I'm going to play a clip from ABC. ABC actually did a good story on this, okay? It's got, you know, I'm just going to play it for you, let it speak for itself. It's like a 6 or 7 minute clip, but think about it, guys. McDonald's, come on. You ever wonder why your stomach hurts so bad after you eat there? It's just like the absolute worst food for you. It's so disgusting. That stuff is disgusting. You know they put silicone in the chicken nuggets? Silicone in the chicken nuggets, guys. They do. All right, we're going to play this video. All right, and after this video, we'll take a quick 3-minute break and be right back. And I want you guys to think about the video. And then, you know, if you want, call in. We're going to open the phone lines right after this video.
Suppliers of the eggs you eat, from supermarkets to McDonald's. Where do they come from, and how sanitary are those conditions? Not very, in some cases. But due to the Brian Ross report you're about to see, McDonald's made a radical change just last night. Maybe a case of putting the chicken before the egg.
For more than 35 years, McDonald's has owned the fast food breakfast market, with its Egg McMuffin, now an American food icon. Ham, cheese, a fresh grade A egg.
Where does breakfast come from?
To hear McDonald's tell it in its television commercials, the source of those eggs, some idyllic place where chickens freely roam the barnyard.
And before you know it, you've got a hot and delicious breakfast.
The reality is much different. Almost all of McDonald's eggs come from huge, closely guarded operations, including this one in Iowa, Sparbo Farms, a so-called factory farm, where not a chicken is to be seen on the outside, and signs warn that no cameras are allowed inside.
These factory farm industries would prefer to operate in secrecy without scrutiny.
But tonight, a rare look inside at where breakfast really comes from. An investigator for the animal rights activist group, Mercy for Animals, pierced the wall of egg secrecy, providing this undercover video to 2020.
Why don't we leave all these dead birds in here?
Showing what appears to be unsanitary conditions and mindless animal cruelty at Sparbo facilities in three states.
I saw workers do horrendous things to birds. They are thrown, they're grabbed by the neck, they're slammed in and out of cages.
The animal rights activist who made the footage got inside after being hired at Sparbo last summer. He asked that we not show his face and call him Scott.
So this is the scene, huh?
This is the scene.
Sparbo never caught on to who he was, and at one point, he sat in on a company-wide conference call that warned of possible infiltration by animal rights activists.
There could be people out there with cameras trying to get pictures.
But the fox with the undercover camera was already in the henhouse. At Sparbo, like most major egg producers, the chickens are kept in what are called battery cages, six to a cage, stacked high in rows twice the length of a football field. Egg producers say they are cost-efficient and scientifically acceptable.
They literally live their entire lives laying eggs for McDonald's, for their consumers, in these battery cages where they do not have the space to fully spread their wings or walk around.
Workers cut the beaks of young chicks to prevent them from pecking the others in their crowded cages. The video also shows workers cleaning out dead birds, apparently left for days or weeks to rot in the cages while other hens laid their eggs.
There were flies swarming the battery cages. There were rodents running around, you know, in and out of the walls and underneath the cages.
Scott said his bosses seemed unconcerned about possible contamination of the food trays by the insects and rodents, what food safety experts say is a primary way that salmonella and other diseases can be spread.
Were the special orders make sure the food tray is kept clean, free of bugs and rodents?
No, not that I ever heard anybody
Nothing
say.
Nothing like that?
No, I never heard anybody ask us to clean the feed trays, no.
We showed the tape to David Atchison, who is the head of food safety for the FDA and the Bush administration.
That's a public health threat. Flies love dead meat, and that's dead meat, and it should be gone.
And then flies move the salmonella around.
Exactly, as do rodents. He's going to deposit that into the feed, and then the chickens eat the feed, and then from the egg into the human, and you get salmonella, and in a worst case, a dead human.
Even those who survive can suffer horribly. Salmonella in eggs from another Iowa producer almost killed Sarah Lewis of Santa Cruz, California, a mother of two, still on heavy medication a year and a half later.
I've missed a lot, and it just takes a toll on you.
Sarah got sick after eating dessert at a graduation dinner for her sister at a catering hall, one of several dozen to fall ill.
It was an egg custard tart, and come to find out, that's what ended up getting everyone sick.
The eggs used to make the custard were contaminated with salmonella, attacking Sarah's digestive system, leading to massive infection, internal bleeding, and near cardiac arrest.
I was white as a ghost, and my children didn't even really recognize me, and they were just crying, and they saw me at my worst.
Federal inspectors discovered that the bad eggs used in the custard came from an Iowa company, Wright County Eggs, with a long record of health problems.
The conditions in your facility were not clean, they were not sanitary, they were filthy.
It was the big story of the summer of 2010. More than 2,000 people across the country got sick from Wright County Eggs.
We've been reporting all week here on that massive recall, now at a half billion eggs and still growing.
And there was a nationwide health scare about the safety of all eggs.
The salmonella outbreak from that company a year and a half ago led to a long overdue crackdown and promises of stepped up federal enforcement, which is why this new undercover videotape at a second Iowa company is so important, calling into question whether enough is still being done to keep America's eggs safe.
Sparbo produces...
All right, guys, we're going to take a break and we'll be right back in 3 minutes. Stick with us on The Last American Radio Broadcast.
Check your iPhone, better say it's our time. I don't even
measure up and try to blame the I'ma do it bigger than a 5X. Can't ride with it, so I don't drive Lex. Game so bickery, so full of trickery. Nursery, rhyming, hickory, dickory. That the hood call it pickery. Biggie, Puffy, Busta, Big B. So I got the Audemars, flawless diamonds. In other words, that's called perfect timing. I feel like a favor, I feel like a savior. They clock in my neck, I feel like I'm flavor. I go so hard, low so damn street. Get it in there.
One, two, all less low so. We do it like.
Just ride through the city looking pretty as the usual.
This is what I do.
It's the same old thing. Got the name on the chain just to let them know who's
you. Case you ain't no so.
And they know I'm over here, so they come and find me right after they lose
what
you.
What took y'all so long?
For you left in a way we can let the say, excuse you.
I'm on you lame.
At the end of the day, we just trying to find a way, and I might be a come up. Baby, you can hit your ride, but you gotta know how to do more than keep a thumb
you
up.
Ride stick, girl.
It's so incredible that it ain't edible, but they know the cake's real.
Pillsbury dough, man.
Yo, I couldn't even say, ask these other silicone how being fake feel.
Yay.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. Thanks for sticking with us during the quick break. You know, before we went to break, we heard, you know, we heard the ABC report. And, you know, even if you don't eat McDonald's, you should be upset by this a little bit. Because, you know, your kids probably eat McDonald's, or they have. Well, people in your family have. Guys, it's just thing after thing with them. When it wasn't the eggs, it was the meat that didn't decompose. And it wasn't the meat that didn't decompose. It was the silicone in the nuggets. Now, I only imagine what other things have come out over the years. And, you know, I just wasn't around into the research to know about. But I'm sure they've had tons of other issues, too, with their food. You know, it's bad enough the food's got a million calories and it's terrible for you. But, I mean, it's really, you know, awful. I mean, whether it's filled with chemicals or plastics, I mean, come on, guys. When you see this video, and I want you guys to check it out, the video I just played is a little longer. It actually had another 3 minutes, but I wasn't going to play the whole thing because I'm not going to sit here and play a whole ABC broadcast. I don't think they'd probably like that too much either. So we just kept it at a couple minutes, but you guys can see the whole clip. I posted the link up there for you guys, and, you know, there's another video up there that's 3 minutes. And that's the actual video that got snuck out of the farm. Take a look at it, okay? The only reason I didn't play that now is because that's mostly video. There's not too much audio going on that, okay? It's stuff you got to see with your eyes. So when you check it out, you're going to be pretty appalled. And, you know, I had one of my friends here last night, and he's awake too. And he was like, yeah, I just get the free-range chickens. And I'm like, yeah, I know, man. I mean, where do you see this? And he wasn't surprised at all. I mean, he knows that's what goes on. But I was just kind of shocked to see it like this. I was like, wow. They're really just all stuffed in these little tiny cages, guys. They have no room to grow. They shoot them up with all types of, you know, antibiotics and everything else to get their breasts larger. and they don't have any room to live. So what do? When they drop the feed in, you know, first of all, what's in the feed? Who knows? Probably GMOs, right? They drop the feed in, and since they don't have room to run around and go take a crap somewhere, right? They're literally stuck in this little cage. So, you know, where do you think the food goes? It goes on the floor. Where do you think the poop goes? It goes on the floor. So what happens when they eat? They eat both. Even if they try not to, they probably do. That's effing disgusting. And those are the chickens that you eat. Those are the eggs that you eat that come from those chickens when you get an Egg McMuffin. Think about it. Makes a lot more sense to buy free-range chicken eggs now, doesn't it? Yeah, you're going to pay a little more money for stuff like that, just like with the grass-fed beef and everything else. But you know what? Not only is it better that you do that, you know, you're being a better person by doing that, and, you know, it's not only is it better for your body, too, as in health-wise, it tastes better. All this other food that's more natural actually tastes better. I'm not lying to you. It's not like diet food or something. It's food that has more flavors. Flavors that haven't been zapped out yet through whatever process that they've gone through. Whether it's like a microwave type process. Whether it's a pasteurization type process. Whether it's homogenization process. Whether it's some other type of sterilization process. Whatever. Everything gets zapped of all its nutrients. That's why you got to get the good stuff. Yeah, it'll cost a little more. You'll feel better, though, and it'll taste better. Do you really want your kids to eat silicone? Would you let your kids sit there and chew on plastic and eat it up and swallow it? Huh? So why would you let them eat it in a piece of chicken? I understand. It's cheap. McDonald's is cheap. That's why they do that. It's cheap, so people are going to buy it. But you know what? Cut something else somewhere else. Cut a corner somewhere else. You know, giving your kids McDonald's because you're saving, you know, an extra 30, 40, 50 bucks a week or whatever you save when you eat there a few times a week. I don't know. No, that's not a good enough reason. So you'll sell your kids' health out for a couple of bucks? Is that what you're telling me? Because that's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like to me. I used to eat that crap a lot before. I got a job there when I was like 16. That was my first job. By the time I was done working there, I mean, I could never really eat the crap ever again. We once in a great, great while. But now, I mean, I never eat it. In the last 10 years, I've probably eaten it. I mean, less than five times. I can't stand it. It's disgusting. I'm a picky SOB. Like, when it comes to my burgers and stuff, I got to buy 93% lean, or at least 90 and higher. I won't even eat 85. So McDonald's, I mean, that's like 65, you know. I can't eat that stuff. I'm kind of a snob like that. I'm kind of picky with my meat. I just don't like it. I don't like 70, 75% hamburg. You know, you go to somebody's house and they got a big box of it or whatever for a cookout. I don't enjoy those at all. It just tastes disgusting to me. Yeah, so, I mean, that's pretty much it with that story. If you guys want to do a little more, you know, digging into it, there's a little more to that video. There's a couple of good articles they wrote about it. I can't believe I'm saying that about ABC. But, you know, just being a little health food type issue, this is the type of stuff that they can actually report on, honestly, to get a little bit of credibility. And then, with, you know, with the big stuff, you know, like terrorism, like, you know, everything else, they mislead you. But this is something that I think they're right on about. You know, like I said, guys, and I think I put this in the blog, too. If I didn't, I'll throw it in there. McDonald's hamburgers. There's been people that have been saving them and testing this since 1989. How long ago was that now? 21 years? Think about that. That's 21 years ago now. Holy crap, I'm getting old. 21 years ago, this guy still has burgers and buns, and they're not decomposed yet. Can you imagine that? That's how processed this stuff is and how nasty it is and shot up with God knows what else. You guys got to avoid the McDonald's. Seriously, avoid it. Don't just go there and get something else either, because I told you this. Don't you think this is going to pop? It keeps popping up in everything over there. The meats and buns don't decompose. The silicone in the chicken nuggets. And now the chickens may have salmonella and all this other crap. Just stay away from there totally. go to the food store at least, you know, get a few things for your house or whatever that you know what you're eating at least, okay? Not to tell you that everything in the food store is good, because God knows, you know, you got to know what you're getting, but at least, you know, you have a little bit more of a choice because you can pick things out rather than just getting something off a menu where you don't know what's in it. Don't go to McDonald's, please. You know, I know how it is. We're all on the go. You know, I live by myself. I don't like to cook for myself a lot. And I know that subs and all that is bad for you too. But you know what? You go to a sub place and get something a lot better than McDonald's. You know what I mean? Get a turkey sub or something. You know what I mean? I know mayo has calories, and I know yada, yada, yada. But it's not like getting a Big Mac and a large fry and some nuggets from McDonald's. Okay? Past the McDonald's, past the Wendy's, past the Burger King. There's a reason that stuff is so cheap. The stuff's barely food, okay? McDonald's nuggets always had a weird taste to me, too. Didn't they, guys? They always had that weird taste to them. Like the Wendy's one. You bite into a Wendy's nugget, right? It kind of tasted like chicken. Like if you bit into a breast of KFC without the skin and you bit into a nugget of Wendy's, it would taste kind of similar. They taste like chicken. If you bite into a McDonald's nugget, doesn't it have another kind of flavor to it, like a little zing? That's the plastic. That's the plastic we've been eating. Guys, the phone lines are open. So, you know, if anybody wants to call in, you know, dial us up. Call right in. We'll get you right on. Yeah, I didn't mean to go on so long about the McDonald's stuff. But, you know, some people don't realize. People think, you know, you tell them McDonald's is bad for them. And they think you're just talking about, you know, the calorie content. And, you know, because they're eating burgers and fries every day. But it's a lot deeper than that. I mean, there's stuff in their food that will cause diseases and cause you to really die. And, you know, even without these, you know, quicker things like salmonella and, you know, E. coli or whatever else you could get from food, you know, the long-term effects are awful, okay? That stuff will clog your arteries in a few months. Guys, if you want to call in, it's 815-680-5700. 815-680-5700. Or, as always, you can go to thelastamerican.org. And you can just click on the thing right there that says call me. And if you have Skype or another, you know, if you have Skype, you can click the call me. It'll call us through your Skype. If you have a different, you know, voice over IP type service, I'm pretty sure you can just click the phone number and it'll dial in. And, of course, you can do it the traditional way. The complicated way nowadays. Dialing, you know, 10 digits on the phone. So 815-680-5700 if you want to be old-fashioned. Dial us up. Anybody out there still got a rotary phone? Remember those things? I remember my buddy Tim. He had one of those things like 10 years after they were already done. He still had one in his kitchen. If you were at his house trying to call your house, you had to spin it around, A lot of you people listening probably don't even know what a rotary phone is, do you? We had these phones before where they didn't have buttons that you had a touch tone. You had to spin a dial. So on each a dial was circular, right? It was a plastic circle on the phone instead of like a number pad. Picture a plastic circle that was clear. And it had, you know, 10 circles in it. And under each circle was a number. And you would stick your finger in the circle and you would spin the dial around and let it go. And it would spin back. And that's how you would dial each number. And you would have to do that 7 times. At least we didn't have to dial the area code back then if you were making a local call. So you only had to dial 7 numbers. Back then, you remembered people's numbers. You didn't have phone book contact list and all that. You know, everybody was identified by their phone number. You remembered everybody's phone number because, you know, that's what you had to do. It's crazy how much times have changed. Like, I know times change all the time. Technology's always moving faster. I feel like the time that I grew up in, though, I mean, we are really in a time of a lot of technical advances. I mean, big change. Just the internet. The internet's such a huge invention. It's really revolutionized everything from media to entertainment to just about everything. I mean, it really has. It started a lot of new enterprises and it's put a lot of businesses under. What businesses would it put under? Well, think about the post office. How bad have they been hit by the internet? I mean, why go pay for stamps when you can email, right? Think about it. I mean, how many bills do you pay automatically? Or you pay by the phone? Or you pay by going to a website? Or, you know, automatic withdrawal? You know, back in the day, you had to mail checks out to everybody, buy stamps, and the post office made a ton of money. Who's doing that now? I mean, I mail checks out once in a while, not even every month, because most of my things I just pay online. Online has killed the post office. It's probably, I would think it's hurt some other businesses. I would think a lot of businesses have profited greatly, but you got to think, how about a newspaper industry? The newspapers are obsolete now. Nobody buys a newspaper. I mean, very few. I'll buy a newspaper, like, if I'm walking into a Red Sox game and there's a Boston Herald, I might buy one and just, you know, check out some of the stats while I'm at the game or something. But I rarely buy a newspaper. Very rarely. Unless somebody I know is in it and I want to have it or something. You just go to the website, right? Shopping. What do you guys think? Obviously, places like Amazon have, you know, profited greatly, and online retailers. What do you think about shopping malls? I think they've still done all right. They must have taken a hit because a lot of people do online shopping, but I think that they still do all right. I think they've definitely taken a hit and probably wish it didn't happen, but I think they benefit from it in different ways too. You know, you got to think when they can do some of their orders online rather than have all the physical customers in the store, well, that makes things run smoother probably, and that probably means they can hire less employees to be inside the store, and they can save a little bit money on that and to kind of make up for what they would lose in sales. I don't know. I might be reading too much into it, but you know what I'm saying, guys. The internet has changed everything. Now, when I was young, okay, I'll tell you guys right now, I don't care. I'm 34, all right? So when I grew up, I had an Atari when I was about 4 or 5 years old. I had an Atari 2600. The toys when I grew up were Star Wars toys were my favorite. I liked He-Man. I wasn't really into G.I. Joe. And, you know, I got really into soccer and baseball. So I was pretty busy with that all the time. I didn't really have that many other hobbies probably besides getting in trouble. you know, we didn't have the internet to start. So I know what it's like to not have it and to have it. You know, we didn't have the touch-tone phones. We didn't have CD players, guys. I know people older than me are laughing, and they're like, well, we didn't even have cassettes. We had 8-tracks. I know. That's what I'm saying, guys. We had cassette tapes. Okay, that was the big thing. Right about the time when I started getting into high school, CDs started to become kind of big. But cassettes kind of hang on for a while because for a long time you couldn't record on CDs. So it was kind of pointless for a lot of people because, you know, you like to make mixtapes and everything. Then the internet came out, you know, I don't remember the exact year, but I want to say I was around 10 or 11 when America Online came out, because I remember my mom used to use it a lot, America Online, go on there and talk to people. It was probably about 25 years ago now, right? Close to it. I was probably about 10, 24 years ago. You know, just think how far we've come. I mean, you used to have these huge computers that couldn't talk to any other computers. Now you've got these little netbooks. You got phones that can do it. I mean, you got phones that are like computers that can, you know, network with each other and set up wireless networks and everything. You know what I mean? It's crazy how far we've come. The internet's changed everything. And I remember I used to play video games a real lot. I haven't played in probably a year. You know, I've been so busy with research, I just don't have time. But I was actually thinking about going to get in the what is it? The Call of Duty game, maybe today, just to have a little something to play around with once in a great while. But, you know, when the internet first came around to the video games, I mean, I remember I was about 21. I lived in Nashua, New Hampshire at the time. And I remember because I used to play this basketball game for the Sega Dreamcast. And it was the first game you could chat with people, but you had to use a keyboard. You couldn't talk with them with the microphone. Now, I mean, look what we can do. We do video chat with everybody for free. You can have video conferences. You can play games online with people, with hundreds of people in the same server, wandering around in the same world. I mean, it's really come pretty cool. For a while, I mean, that's what I used to like to do. I used to like to, you know, as a young adult or late 20s, I used to like to play, you know, play games with my friends. We'd get online and just, you know, hang out through the game. Pretty cool. Pretty cool invention. It's really changed everything. But I think in a negative way, the internet's kind of made people antisocial. Okay? It's made it too easy to communicate with people without having to see them in face or talk to them in person. And a lot of people just rely on that. You know what I mean? That's what they do. They won't talk to you in person. They'll just send you an email, or they'll chat with you, but they won't talk to your face. Or you guys know what I'm saying. And the thing with the smartphones, it's made people even more antisocial. If you go to a restaurant, you see a family sitting there. Everybody's looking at their phones, playing with their phone, sending text messages, playing Angry Birds. Nobody's even talking to each other anymore. Nobody's having conversation. I think it's gone a little too far, okay? The internet's a great thing. We could talk about this all day. But the other thing about the internet, guys, is it's become so vast, and there's so much information at your fingertips that is what the establishment is scared of. They don't want you having all the access to all that information. Now, most people aren't free enough thinkers to roam around on the information superhighway and get the right information. They get fooled by the smoke screens. But there's other people like myself and a lot of people that I associate with that can see through the fog, that are, you know, likely to find out a lot of truth if they roam around by themselves. That's why they want to regulate it on us. That's why they want to monitor it. That's why they want to be able to blacklist IPs. That's why they want to put government servers on any government filters on any server with over 100 clients. It's becoming like Nazi Germany. It really is. You guys don't think so? You guys don't see the similarities? Back then, you know, if you were opposed to what they were doing, you were a terrorist. They had concentration camps. Now, I know we have FEMA camps, and, you know, nobody's probably been thrown in them yet, but they are there. I mean, it's pretty intimidating knowing what has happened before and knowing that we're going down a lot of the same roads. Their whole thing with the Third Reich, I mean, it was really kicked off with a false flag terror event, wasn't it? Now, think about, you know, what happened in the last 10 years, and, you know, whether you think it was a false flag terror event, a movie, or a real terrorist attack, you can't deny 9/11 has been used for the same thing, to kick their agenda into high gears. They wouldn't have invaded all these countries without that, okay? So it's just like the Reichstag. It really is, okay? As far as the internet goes, you know, that's greatly affected by all this, because they're going to use all this terrorism and all this phony made-up BS to clamp down on your rights. The internet in 5 years is going to be a lot worse than it was 5 years ago. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to be so restricted, watered down. They're passing laws now where you could get in trouble for posting content like YouTube videos, like everybody does all day on Facebook, sharing things. You're going to get in trouble for that now? You can face jail time? For real? And it's going to have nothing to do with copyright, guys. It's going to have to do with questionable material, stuff that they don't agree with. And that's not right. Whether you agree with my opinions or not, I should be able to post whatever I want. And, you know, short of showing somebody getting raped or murdered or something, you know, I should be able to post whatever I want, no matter what my opinion is of the government or of the media or of anything else. Who are they to tell me I can't have my own opinion? That's what they're doing. And by the people that are sitting back letting that happen, eventually it's going to be you with an opinion, you with a statement, or you that's crying out for help. And what's going to happen? There's going to be nobody left to take you in, just the people to take you away. You're not going to have any help. You know why? Because you didn't stand up for anybody when you had an opportunity to. Think about it. And that's why they separate us, you know, not separate us, but that's why they like to, you know, throw labels on us in these different groups. Then it's easy to attack you and get other people to back what they're saying, because they know they're not in your group. Well, you're not in that group either. The only group you should be in is an American that cares about your freedom. That's the group that's important. That's what's important in this world, in this country, okay? You know, the other night, I spent some time on some Pakistani and Syrian newspapers. And, you know, I almost forgot about this. I was going to write a story on this, and I still am. And I'm going to post it up on my website, therealnewsonline.com. You guys know about thelastamerican.org. We talk about it all the time. I have my own website that I've had for almost a year now. It's called therealnewsonline.com. And you know what that is? It's just it's a collection of all different news sources, mainstream and alternative. It also has, what do you say, special features, like I have my 9/11 paper I wrote on there, and it has my complete radio archive from both networks. As you guys know, I do two radio shows. I do the daytime show here at The Last American Radio Broadcast at thelastamerican.org, and I also do a nighttime show Monday through Thursday, 10 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on Informed Radio, nformdradio.com. Okay, I do two shows. Now, I want to talk. You know what? We're gonna take a quick break because this is gonna be good. I'm gonna talk about some serious censorship issues going on. You know, me and Phil have talked a few times about, you know, how come you don't see any of you know, people from Iraq or Afghanistan or any of those people on Facebook talking about the wars and all this. I came across some very, you know, I did a little digging the other night, and I came across some really intriguing stuff that really pissed me off, but it kind of answers that question too. So what we're going to do, guys, is we're going to take a quick 3-minute break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Facebook censorship between the Middle East and between America. And I've got a good story for you. I'll be right back. Hey everybody, welcome back. Thank you for sticking with us during the quick break. Now, when I went away, I promised you, you know, I was going to tell you about this little censorship story. Okay, here's the deal. You guys have noticed if I tell you, you know, once I tell you, you guys are going to realize. You know, you're on Facebook, okay? Most people, you know, have a few hundred friends. Some people have a few thousand. I have, you know, probably 700-800, and that's because as of the last few months, I just stopped accepting everybody because I like to get the information out. There was a while when I wouldn't accept anybody I didn't know, and I've kind of changed that approach. So that being the case, I talk to people all over the world. And I'm not saying I'm special. I'm sure most of you talk to people all over the world. I do it all the time. Pass information on, talk about research, try and find out things from people that are actually on the ground near where they're going on. It's a, you know, Facebook can be really good sometimes, okay? Other times, it's very, You know, it's very obvious that it's government run. The censorship is obvious. You know, and I always wondered, and, you know, so did some other people here that we were talking about this, why you don't see any people from Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Iran, all these countries, right? Well, why, you know, why aren't they on there bitching about the war? Well, I was bouncing around, and I forget what article I was looking for, but I found an article, and it ended up being on a newspaper from Moscow, okay? So I went to the site from Moscow, and it was an article, had something to do with NATO invading somebody or something, and, you know, I made a comment on it. Now, I'm trying to remember how this happened. This is what happened. You know, I'm just trying not to get confused here. I found the Moscow site through Facebook. Okay, I commented on this article that was posted, but it should have, like, linked back to the site. When I went back to the site, my comment wasn't there, but what was there was all these comments that I didn't get to see before, all from these people, you know, in the Middle East and all these countries, right? So I start reading the post. And, you know, almost everybody knew what was going on. They were all like, you know, we should be running our own country. We don't need NATO coming over here. We don't need the U.S. invading. Other people were like, they're going to disguise it as a humanitarian thing, just like they did with Libya. We don't need them here. It's not as bad as everybody's saying. Not any of them were complaining about, you know, the police scooping up people and killing them like we hear about in Syria and all this, right? All these people, right? There was like probably six or seven of them from, you know, Iran, Syria, and Pakistan. Those are the countries they were from. Then there was this one guy that said he was from Syria. And it was so scripted what he said. You wouldn't even believe it. He was like, I'm from Syria, and you guys have no idea. We really need a NATO intervention because of the way Assad and the military forces are scooping up civilians and executing them. And we really, yada, yada. It just sounded so much like it came from our propaganda machine. Now, this is funny because, like I told you, I always wondered why we never see these people. So what I did get is I started going to the individual pages of the people that made the comments, okay? Now, I went to their pages. I start scrolling down, and I'm reading, you know, all their statuses that I can read, all the articles that they posted, just to kind of get their gauge their opinion. Now, you know, a lot of them were right on, except for this one guy that was supposedly from Syria, and he was just spouting RBS, right? And then I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try and connect with some of these people so we can keep, you know, tell them, you know, what I think, see what they think. I couldn't friend request anybody. So you know how at the top of the page on Facebook it says add friend? No matter what you set your privacy settings to, there's always an add friend button, isn't there? And even if somebody decided to hide the add friend thing, maybe one person would. All of these people that agreed with what I was saying, that lived in Iran or Pakistan or Syria, okay, all of them, I was not allowed to connect with. I couldn't add as a friend. You know the funny thing? Out of all the people I checked out there, there was one person I could add as a friend. The one guy from Syria that was spitting the U.S. propaganda about how they need a NATO intervention and this, that, and the other thing. I could add him as a friend if I wanted to, and I couldn't add any of the other ones. Unbelievable, right? And then, it gets even better. I tried going to the, because I had bookmarked the site. I tried going to it. I kept getting blocked. Like, you know, error not found, 404, or whatever the messages was. If I bounced through Facebook through one of those guys' pages and went back to the site through the thing that they posted, I could get into it indirectly. But I was being blocked from going directly to those sites. So I think that kind of answers a lot of the questions I have. I think we are intentionally being blocked from connecting with these people. And the only one they wanted me to connect with was the one guy that was spitting the propaganda message that they would want everybody over here to hear. That was the only one I could connect with. Okay, I could see if maybe one guy I couldn't connect with. There was five people with all these comments, and I couldn't add any of them as a friend. But I could add the guy as a friend from Syria that supposedly, you know, wanted the NATO intervention and all this and that. That's not a coincidence, okay? That's what's going on. Yeah, that's part of the Facebook censorship. Guys, you shouldn't be surprised by this. Facebook was set up by the CIA. It was set up as a data mining project to get information off people. Okay? That's what it's there for. It was set up with CIA money. In 2003, the CIA had a data mining project, okay, where they wanted to find out where everybody was, who they were with, what hotels they were in, what airlines they took, what kind of car they drove, what they liked to eat, all this stuff, right? And then in 2004, okay, the guy that headed up this project, his name is James Breyer, okay? He wasn't the only one. There was like two or three people that headed the project, him and two other people, okay? His name's James Breyer. They had this data mining project for the CIA, 2003, trying to get all this info, right? Now, I'm going to go through this quick because this is an easy story to tell you. If you ever seen the movie The Social Network, or even if you haven't and you know a little bit about the history of Facebook, okay? You know, the movie was a fraud because they left out some very important parts. Now, in the movie, Mark Zuckerberg, okay, before he moves out to California, he lands a big investment from a guy named Peter Thiel. And Peter Thiel gives him $500,000, $500,000 to start up his website business in California to help start Facebook, okay? Pretty good, you know, investment. Get some servers, get the equipment, pay some interns, you know, yada, 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 whatever you got to do, right? That's a good amount of money. The funny thing is, you know, he got another investment, and, you know, I could see if it was smaller and they left it out, but he got an investment that was, you know, like 25 times bigger. He got an investment of almost $13 million, $12,700,000 investment to start Facebook, which started in early 2004. You know where the money came from? James Breyer. The same guy heading up the data mining project for the CIA just months before Facebook launched. Facebook is the data mining project by the CIA. And think how clever it is. They don't even have to dig for the information. They're so smart the way they set it up. People give you their information. They want to give it to you. They want to share it. This is a CIA op. It really is. I swear to God. Look into it. Tell me I'm wrong. Go ahead. I don't care. It was started with CIA money. The guy that was running the data mining project to get information off people through the internet, mind you, a data mining project through the internet, so through a website. He goes and gives Zuckerberg almost $13 million at the same time, and then Facebook launches months later. You're not supposed to think that it's run by the CIA. God, they take low-resolution pictures of you and use facial recognition automatically. You have to shut it off. Does that sound like a social networking to you or central intelligence? It sounds like central intelligence to me, you know? It really does. Yeah, so that's pretty much my deal with Facebook. And if you guys have noticed, you know, as of late, like in the last week, a lot of videos aren't posted with thumbnails. I think a lot of things are going to start to change, and I think we're going to be really restricted on what we start passing around on Facebook. And they do it to me all the time, guys. This isn't imaginary. Facebook deletes my posts all the time. It happens so much that anytime, when I say post, I mean when I put a status, right? And you can add comments after it, which you do a lot because your status is only so many characters. So you'll type a big long comment. All my comments are disappearing all the time. I have to, every time I'm done typing, I copy it all, and then I hit enter, just in case something happens so I can paste it again. It's like I have to do that, because it happens so much. It happens all the time. Facebook is constantly deleting my stuff. There's been links that they haven't let me post a lot of times, too. A lot of times they haven't let me post links. You know, it's, guys, don't fool yourself. Know what it is. It's okay to use it, okay? Why, you know, why am I using it if I'm telling you it's CIA? Well, because that's where the people are at. I'm on the radio. They're going to know what my thoughts are anyways, so I don't really give a damn. You know, I really don't. I'm going to come on there. If there's really 500 million people on there, well, guess what? That's where I'm going to go because I want to talk to them all. I want to tell everybody what's going on, okay? You understand? That's why I'm on Facebook. Same reason I was on MySpace. Oh, no, it's not, actually. I was on MySpace before I was awake to any of this stuff. I was just on there to make friends. But it's the same reason, you know, I would be on Google Plus now, okay? The same reason I would be on Twitter, to pass information around. And that's what they don't want. You know, we're coming up on the second hour soon, you know, at the end of 2 hours. And I still got a few stories I want to get to. I hope you guys don't mind if I go a little bit longer. The European Union, guys, has now banned the backscatter x-ray machines that we use at the airport, okay? They will use different millimeter wave technology, low-energy radio wave machines. They don't cause radioactive damage, and they've officially banned the type that we use. They admit that they're not safe and that they cause cancer. But guess what? Doesn't matter here. Welcome to Nazi Germany. Come to the airport. We will radiate you, and we will grab your genitals. We don't care. We are going to grab your genitals. Yay! How about that, huh? Welcome to Nazi Germany, guys. How may I help you? That's what they should say when you land in America. Welcome to Nazi Germany. How may I help you? Right? Think about it. Guys, being patted down is one thing. It's policy now to molest you and touch your private parts. Think about that. That's so degrading. And that's meant, it's meant to, you know, to degrade you, to make you feel, you know, I don't even know the word to use, to make you feel low, to make you feel used. Like, they want you to feel that way. They want you to know that they are the government. What they say goes. They'll pepper spray you. They'll hit you with tear gas. They'll shoot you with rubber bullets. Yeah, they will. They don't care. You think that, you know, a couple people videotaping what they do is going to scare them from keep doing it? No, they love it. They love it. Tape me. They were probably told to get caught on tape. So they could scare you, okay? They could scare people like you. That's what they want. They want the fear. They want to get the fear going. They want you to fear the police state, okay? And I don't want you guys to fear it. That's why I think it's important that we tell you that a lot of it is staged, so you know that a lot of it isn't even as bad as it's portrayed to be. You know what I mean? A lot of it. But whether they really are beating up the people, or whether they are faking they are beating up the people, it's the same chilling effect, right? It makes you, not only for journalists, guys, just for people, say myself, okay? Say it's a year ago, and I'm not into any of this stuff yet, but I'm just starting to hear some information, or I'm just starting to wake up. Well, you know, then I see the police, Mason people that are speaking up, beating them with batons, stepping on them, running them over with horses, all this nonsense, right? I might be scared to speak out. I might not want to be politically involved. I might not want to be down there protesting. I might not want to tell everybody what's going on. I might stay off the radio. You understand? Because some people will take those threats and just be totally, that's it. You know, they don't want to be bothered. They don't want to have to put their neck on the line, you know? And some people, you know, you really, if putting your neck on the line is just speaking up and saying what you believe, then you know what? You do need to put your neck on the line. Don't be a coward, okay? You don't have to get out here on the radio. You don't have to get on TV. You don't have to run a website. But if you truly believe something is wrong, tell people. If you have a true opinion on something, tell people. Don't stay in a shell. You know what? When you tell these people, a lot of the people you tell might be thinking the same thing as you. And maybe they're in a shell too. And once you guys talk about it and establish the communication and that common bond that, hey, we're not idiots. I know that this isn't right. Well, I know this isn't right too. And then you guys just start shooting it back and forth. You know what I mean? And before you know it, you got somebody to talk to about this stuff. And then you guys go and get somebody else and tell them how you feel. Okay? Don't worry about, you know, if other people think you're crazy. Okay, that's just the biggest cop-out. And that's just so easy to use that as a fear to keep people from talking. Oh, they're going to think you're crazy. You know what? Think I'm crazy. I don't care. You can think I'm crazy. I'm not crazy. People that call me crazy, I'm just way smarter than they are. Seriously. I'm not trying to sit here and pat myself on the back because there's a lot of people that are way smarter than me. But those people that call me crazy, they just don't have a clue. Okay? So don't worry if they call you crazy. Those are the people that will never probably be helped. Those are the people that are idiots. Okay? If they call you crazy, then they're an idiot. All right? an idiot. When you're telling people a bunch of facts, and because they don't understand them, you're crazy. They are an ignoramus. How's that? An ignoramus. They are. They're an ignorant idiot, pretty much. You know what I mean? And I can't stand people like that. And I understand, guys. Everybody's busy. Everybody has different schedules. Some people work two jobs. Some people work two jobs and have kids. Some people work three jobs. Some people work no jobs. Some people are rich. Some people are poor. Everybody has different amounts of time, right? I understand. But you all spend a little time doing something unproductive, like watching TV or something, right? Trim a little off that and just look into things a little bit. You don't have to get into huge issues like 9/11 or like, anything like that. You could just, just so you break out of that box a little bit and know that people aren't there to, help you and your family. Like, the first thing I would start with, guys, is the health issues. Take some of the health issues I talk about and just research them a little bit, Look into them just a little bit, and you'll see that everything I say about it is spot on. It's truth, okay? It's time now. It's time you start to establish a little bit of trust here with me and look into the things I'm saying, and you'll see that, I'm not lying. I'm not making anything up, and whenever I don't know something, I tell you it's an opinion, okay? We don't make anything up here. Here's another example of, guys, it's quarter of two right now on the East Coast. We're going to go until 2 o'clock and we're going to wrap it up at two. So we're going to play, a quick break. We'll be back in 3 minutes. And we have a story to do with manufactured flu strain viruses. And, that pretty much says it all. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
Making all that noise tonight, we really appreciate it. You're far too kind. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn Boys. One last time, we need y'all pro. Now,
what the hell are you waiting for?
After me, there should be no more. So for one last time, people make some noise. Who you know fresher than ho? Riddle me that. The rest of y'all know where I'm lyrically at. Can't none of y'all never be back. Yeah, hear me rap. It's like hand G rap. It's prime. I'm young H.O. Raps, Grateful Dead. Back to take over the globe, to break bread. I'm in Boeing Jets, Global Express. Out the country, but the blueberries still connect. On the low, but the yacht got a triple deck. But when you young, but expect, yep. Grand opening, grand closing. Damn your manhole, crack the can open again. Who you gonna find open in head with no pen? Just draw up inspiration. Who you gonna see? You can't replace him. Cheap imitation. Can I get an encore? Do you want more? Cook and roll with the Brooklyn Boys. One last time, I need y'all. Madison Square, the only thing that matters is just a matter of years, yeah. Fate would have it, J status appears to be at an all-time high. Perfect time to say goodbye. When I come back like Jordan, we're in the 4-5. It ain't to play games with you, it's to aim at you. Probably maim you. If I owe you, I'll blow you to smithereens. So I can take one for the team. I need you to remember one thing.
One thing.
I came, I saw, I conquered. Record sales, sold out concerts. So if you want this encore, I need you to scream until your lungs get sore.
Okay, everybody, thank you for sticking with us during the quick break. A little Linkin Park and Jay-Z for you. I went to the concert the other night, too. I went to the Jay-Z Kanye West concert. Last year, as with a lot of things, I haven't paid too much attention to things other than the research. So I haven't really, paid that much attention to new music. And honestly, a lot of the new rap the last few years, I don't like it. It's just garbage. A lot of it is garbage. But there are some people that are top notch, and Jay-Z is, he is my favorite. So I had a great time at the concert. I really did. He's just one of those people, along with, like, say, Bon Jovi, I might be going to a Guns N' Roses concert too, so that's going to be a good time if I get to go to that. I like that a lot too. I haven't been to a rock concert yet. Actually, yeah, I have. I've been to one of the radio stations through a rock concert with a bunch of bands. It was pretty cool. It was local, but there were some bigger bands there too. I went there a few years ago. That was pretty cool. All right, and enough with the concert talk. Okay, last story we're going to talk about today, guys, is this scientist slash doctor, whatever you want to call him. You know, forgive me if I mispronounce his name. Ron Fauchier from the Netherlands, okay? He just announced in a recent flu conference that they had that he's discovered how to make the avian flu more contagious by deliberately modifying its genes. Now, why in the hell would he do that? And why would anybody do that? And why would they even have the thought in their head that that's okay to do that? Think about it. I'll tell you why. Because that's what they do. That's how these diseases are made. They're man-made. The avian flu. The, you know, I don't know which ones, and I don't want to misquote, but there's been a whole bunch of these viruses and flus that have been man-made, and it's been proven, okay? You know, he's saying that he's doing it because, you know, you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared. So this is helping them prepare by him, you know, making the disease more deadly than it is by genetically modifying it. I mean, come on, guy. Really? Give me a break. And he won't comment on it. He won't comment on it on the record. You know, this is what goes on, guys. These things that pop up, and then they have the vaccine farm. It's all part of an agenda. Think about it. You scare people with the disease, then they beg for the vaccine, and then you give them the vaccine. It's really that simple. It's not rocket science. It's that simple. You produce the sickness, and they beg for the cure. In reality, it's bogus. The whole thing's, well, it is a real sickness, but they put it on you. They put that sickness on you. You know, it's pretty disturbing. It really is. You got wackos out there. Instead of helping people, instead of trying to cure some of the worst diseases in the world, you got them working on militarizing flu vaccines. You know, making it, you know, weapons grade. Instead of helping people, that's what they're doing. Making already deadly diseases like the avian flu and making it way more potent. That's what they do with their spare time and with their research. And you know why? Because that's what they're told to do. And that's what they're paid to do. You think this government's paying them to keep people alive? No. They're paying them to make a military weapon out of this stuff. How many foreign troops can you kill with avian flu in one shot? Can we put it in a bomb? Can we put it in a spray? Can we put it in the soil? Can we put it in the food? How about in the medicine? Where else can we put it? That's how they think. It's disturbing. That's why I tell you guys, all right? You better do research before you stick a damn needle in your kid's arm with a vaccine, okay? The people that put this stuff out have bad intentions. You get it? You don't even need to get into specifics. The people that put these vaccines out and that make these viruses have bad intentions. They don't care about your life. They care about money and how they can get more of it and how they can get more power and more money. You get it? Money. It's all about money. It always has been. Money really is the root of all evil. Think about it. It is. It's the root of all evil. It corrupts everything. Even people that could be great contributors to medicine and research, like scientists and doctors and professors, it even corrupts them. They get grants for millions of dollars for research, and all you have to do is, you know, fudge some research that says this, that, and the other thing. That's what goes on. Look at global warming, for instance. You know, one guy fudging the summaries of four different scientists change the world. And they have this whole fake green movement now, and this global warming BS, and it's all made up to make people like Maurice Strong and Al Gore billions of dollars off their carbon tax companies, and so they can seize land all over the United States and all over the world. Yes, that's what the green movement's about. The green movement is about green money. It is the green movement. It's about money. Making money by making people buy things in a green, taxing people on ridiculous things like carbon. I mean, come on. And you think Al Gore does that because he's a good guy? Who do you think stands in line to make billions of dollars off this? Al Gore. He owns one of the biggest carbon trading companies in the world. He's going to make billions, if not more than billions. He's going to make a lot of money. And it's all a fraud. We've been frauded our whole lives. I'm sick of it, you know? Really. When are they going to start telling us the truth about anything? Everything's a fraud, 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 fraud. It's depressing. It really is. Guys, it's been a great show. I want to thank you guys for, you know, tuning in again. We'll be back tomorrow at the same time, 12 noon Eastern, you know, right here, Last American Radio Broadcast. You can find us at www.thelastamerican.org. I'm Brian Stavely, and I'm out.
Same OG, but I've been low-key. Hated on by most these dudes with no cheese. No deals and no G's, no wheels and no keys. No boats, no snowmobiles and no skis. Mad at me, cause I can finally afford to provide my family with groceries. Got a crib with a studio and a saw full of tracks to add to the wall full of plaques. Hanging up in the office and back of my house like trophies. Did y'all think I'ma let my dough freeze? Please, you better bow down on both knees. Who you think taught you to smoke? Who you think brought you to ODs? Eazy-E's, Ice Cubes and D.O.C's, the Snoop D.O.G's, and the group that said motherfuck the police. Gave you a tape full of dope beats to bump when you stroll through in your hood. And when your album sales wasn't doing too good, who's the doc that he told you to go see? Y'all better listen up closely. All you niggas that said that I turn pop or the firm flop, y'all are the reason that Dre ain't been getting no sleep. So fuck y'all, all of y'all, if y'all don't like me, y'all are gonna keep fucking around with me and turn me back to the old me.
Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre. Nowadays, everybody wanna talk like they got something to say, but nothing comes out when they move their lips, just a bunch of gibberish, and motherfuckers act like they forgot about Dre. So what say to somebody you hate?
What?
Or anyone trying to bring trouble your way? One of his off things in the blood of your way?
Yep.
Just study your tape of NWA. One day I was walking by with a Walkman on, when I caught a guy, give me an awkward eye.
You looking
at the mob in the parking lot, but it's dark and I don't give a fuck if it's dark or not. I'm harder than me trying to park a Dodge, but I'm drunk as fuck right next to a humongous truck and it's